Hello, you're listening to the Alpha Wetlands podcast.
Today we are here with Natural Resource Institute Finland representatives, and please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Well, hello everyone. My name is Tuula Larmola, and I'm a wetland ecologist and part of the coordination team of Alpha Wetlands project.
And hi, I'm Hanna Lempinen, and I'm working as a senior scientist in this project. My background is in social sciences, and I'm working with the living labs and co-creation processes and the social acceptability of wetland restoration.
Hello, my name is Mikko Jokinen. I'm a male version of Hanna. So I'm also a social scientist working as a senior scientist working in this project. I'm done research on social and cultural sustainability on nature use and also environmental conflicts. So I guess that's why we are here in this project.
Thanks for your participation. Today we are one of the Alpha Wetlands Living Laboratories, the Austrian-Hungarian Living Lab, but Alpha Wetlands has 9 laboratories in 10 European countries. Alpha Wetlands is acting on different levels, local, national and EU levels. On a local level, the project 9 Living Laboratories are supporting and integrating research on ecological, environmental, economic and social issues. We can start talking about Alpha Wetlands Living Labs. So, Tuula, I want to ask you first question. Before we start talk about living labs, can you tell us what the wetlands are and why are they so important?
Well, how you can define wetland in a simple way is that it's an area that is it's waterlogged or flooded at least part of the year or the whole year, so that there are plants and microbes that are adapted to these conditions. And because the water level is high, decomposition of plant remnants is in these ecosystems. Of course, they are important in many ways for nature and for man, but in our project where this carbon aspect is one of the focuses, and can have a double role, so they are accumulating carbon, but then they are also releasing carbon as greenhouse gases. And there's flood regulation, water storage that wetlands can provide, they host wildlife, and they are quite important. And this is now the focus in our project, that we are thinking of wetland management, sustainable management and restoration as solution to mitigate.
Yes,
climate.
So in part of the project, as I mentioned before, there are living labs created, and please tell us more about what are living labs and why they were created.
How there are many definitions for living labs, but in general it is not just some physical place, but rather the community or the platform where different people can meet and where they would work together on solving problems, or they would test methods, or they would compare results. So it would be like a very practical local level approach to solve various issues, and in our case it is then the management of wetlands. And how they were created? Well,
yes.
in our case, we have, like you mentioned, we have 9 living labs across Europe. Partners, different countries could suggest the type of wetland and the type of issues that are important in their country. And this way we have a wide range of wetlands. We also have a wide range of management options. So there are many options that deal with changing the water level, like changing the hydrology, but also other types of wetlands to increase carbon input to the soil, or then having many different. What we're considering that there is not much information or not much information for a longer time, and we wanted to include sites that have already been restored earlier, and then we can monitor the change for a longer time. And then there are sites that have been just newly established and where it is then important to include the local people in the planning.
Thank you. We are holding a conference at Austrian Hungarian Living Lab, and on the first day we saw the Hungarian site where they are trying to restore and revet dried wetlands. Why is it important to restore wetlands, for example, for biodiversity, for climate change? Could you please tell us more about this issue also?
Well, like I mentioned, they can have this role of very large, efficient carbon store and emissions. In some cases, when it's degraded, emissions can be high. But this tells actually that there is very high potential to reduce the emissions in these kind of sites. And it's actually, compared to some other methods to mitigate climate change, it is quite cost efficient. We already have the technique here. So these are some aspects regarding carbon, but then of course biodiversity aspect is important. There's unique wildlife in wetlands that you cannot find elsewhere. So that's another aspect. Then this flood regulation, they are important in now that the climate is changing. There will be droughts and there will be maybe heavy rains. So these wetlands can act like a sponge. I think the question is how to do it. Like there is like no one method to apply everywhere. And that is what we want to study here, that we can actually verify that this method works. It will reduce greenhouse gas fluxes. And then at the same time, we are surveying landowners or how they see this, what would be acceptable, what they would feel fair, and what kind of compensation there should be for the wetland restoration actions that landowner might take. So a very important aspect in our project is this co-creation together with the that wetland site.
And Mikko, can you tell us more about the co-creation? What is it and why is it important?
Well, we have different types of living labs. Especially ones we have in Finland, they are state-owned land, which means basically that Finnish citizen is a stakeholder. But maybe especially the local ones, local actors who have special interest to the area, not just landowners around the specific area we have, but also the nature conservationist, the types of groups that are used in the area. So because we have basically open democracy, the society, so everybody should have. To achieve best solution for land use planning, so we believe that co-creation is a good thing to do. It's not easy. It
yes.
doesn't always manage to be the best way, but at least we try, and that's what we do in our living in Finland as well.
Yeah, and I think also, I mean, if you think about the thematics of co-creation beyond these specific living labs as well, it's a kind of a prerequisite for any policies to be successful in achieving what they were planned to do, and also socially just, that those who are kind of who are impacted by certain policies or certain developments, unless they are included in the process of both defining the goals as well as the ways in which these goals can be best achieved, there is a risk that these policies will not serve their purpose, that they will be socially unjust or culturally unsuitable. And this is also something that has the potential to backfire, in the sense that it will then create resistance against other similar projects, for example, aiming towards nature restoration or environmental or climate policies in general. So I think it's also kind of important to think outside the boxes of the project itself, that and the broader framework within which these co-creation processes are in place.
Yes, thanks. And what are the expected results from Living Labs in Alpha Wetlands project? Because yesterday, when we were on the Hungarian side, I was listening, and one of the representatives of the National Park said that after they started this restoration process, the biodiversity boomed after this restoration process, because many types of birds have returned to the wetland area, and now there are more than 300 species of birds. So what are we expecting in the end of the project when we will have these final results of the Alpha Wetlands project?
Oh, our project is a research project, so we are, in that sense, we are monitoring the number of species that would return to a certain area, but rather, we, like I mentioned, we are measuring these greenhouse gas emissions under different management, that we can actually say that this restoration method has an impact to the emissions. And then we would also, regarding the scope creation, we will be able to, there are many different cases, but we will try to summarize these approaches and then inform policy making what would be the participatory wetland restoration. So this is more on research on the methods, research on emissions, and then of course we our impact would then be in the practical restoration projects that would be conducted, that we could hand over some of these waste what we have developed. And also, it's not just at local level, the Living Labs work, but it's a way to collect data that can be upscaled, so all the way to EU level, to use the measurements to improve models, and use measurements to improve wetland maps. Then you will also be interviewing policymakers, what kind of data they would actually need from wetlands to implement sustainable management policies on wetlands. So in a way, we operate at many different levels, but our project is not like doing the practical work, restoring certain sites.
Yes, thanks. And
yes, and I think in addition to what Tuula said about like these more like higher level, upper level things that can be scaled up and so on, I wouldn't also downplay the role of like case specific knowledge that we are creating about the wide range of different stakeholders that are kind of affected and should be included in certain regions. And in a best case scenario, I think the work that is being conducted under the umbrella of these Living Labs locally can contribute to broader societal acceptance of restoration policies, both locally and then regionally and nationally, because they can serve as good examples, like from the societal perspective, of how things can be done, that these such projects can be successful. And do you have anything to add in terms of Living Lab work?
Well, when doing restoration, it changes the environment, which is sometimes confusing to people why you are doing this. The environment they have used to is going to be something different. So co-creation is also about communication. It's also, of course, planning together and understanding what we are doing and why. Because biodiversity and climate gas issues is not necessarily very familiar to the people. So also understanding the aims and maybe finding the best ways to achieve the goals why we are doing this restoration is reason to have co-creation. So avoiding conflicts and understand different interests of the users of the area and benefits of the restoration.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that what Mikko just said, he had a really good point in terms that that working within these living labs, it also provides us possibilities to understand root causes of resistance, like societal and community resistance for such projects. For example, the case that we're working with, the living lab in Sanginjoki, it's a forested area nowadays. It's been a forest for how long? More than
70-80 years.
Yes, so it's been a forested area. So for many generations have learned to kind of relate to that area as a forest and kind of are attached to it as a forest. And then like for them, it has always been a forest from their viewpoint. But then when now it's in the process of being restored to wetland. So it's a dramatic change. They had never kind of related to it as a wetland or seen it as a wetland. And they are, in this process, they are losing forests that are dear to them and landscapes that they have profound attachment to. So it's a really, really dramatic change. And this change will also persist in the sense that when they are restoring the area and the ecosystems, of course, for a while it will be kind of this in between of that it's not really necessarily a pleasant place or a landscape, and it is
Informing public and people is really important during this restoration project, because the restoration obviously affects them in every way. So we also here in Austrian site are conducting Living Lab Open Day, and I want to ask you that what message would you pass to the general public and locals who is living close to the wetlands, or say never heard importance of wetlands, or they want to know more about wetlands and its restoration?
Well, there's a huge amount of life in wetlands. Try to learn it if you have not earlier done it. If you are any way interested in natural things, it's a place of richness of life quite often, I guess.
Yeah, if such events like open days are arranged, they are a wonderful opportunity to have easy access to this information. And there's so much like to know and to learn. And then this is a like readily curated events which will kind of get you in to the whole discussion quite easily. And in general, I would say that whenever you have a chance to participate in something that relates to your close surroundings, and when you are invited to something where you can enter into discussions and potentially influence and have a say, you should go. But that's like a very that's it in a nutshell, I think.
Yes, thank you. And Tula?
Well, I agree with them, but maybe I would like to emphasize that there are so many different ways you can get connected with your local wetland. Like you, depending where you are, you can go for berry picking, hiking, and there are even this kind of social activities like bio pits. So there are many opportunities to get to know the wetland, and I think in this way you kind of maybe become more aware and appreciate the services that wetlands are providing that we may not be even thinking about them in our everyday life.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for participating.
Thank you for being with us on Alpha Wetlands Podcast. Stay tuned and follow up on social media.